Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 19 years and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, natural alternatives, as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding the show. Today we'll be talking about the digestive system, how it works, and we'll talk about ways to improve it. A full 75% of your immune system is in your gut, which means that your health truly starts here, and this is one of the reasons why nutrition is a major pillar of the naturopathic philosophy. Now, the saying, we are what we eat, is in part true, but actually it is more accurate to say, we are what we can digest. A person can consume the most perfect foods and the most ideal diet, but if he or she cannot assimilate the food to nourish the cells, the person still would not be able to attain good health. Everything your body has ever been or will be is dependent upon nutrition. Every building block, every bone cell, even the sheen of your hair is the result of food you eat. And digestion, the process that converts that food into energy, is so important that it has been said that life and death often start in your colon. Your digestive system works much like a tree's root system. It takes hold of all the nutrients from food, drinks, and the air around you and breaks them down, making them available for us by the rest of your body. When your digestive function suffers, you open the door to nutritional deficiencies, food and environmental allergies, parasites, increased absorption of toxins, poor immune function, inflammation, fatigue, and all manner of chronic and degenerative diseases. Digestive health is so important that thousands of books have been written on this topic. In fact, I would like to mention two very excellent books that we have available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center on this topic. And one is called The Maker's Diet by Dr. Jordan Rubin. And the other one is called Restoring Your Digestive Health, which is written by Dr. Jordan Rubin. And he's a naturopathic doctor. And also by Dr. Joseph Brasco. He's a medical doctor. And the book also outlines the fascinating story of the author's battle with Crohn's disease, a very debilitating intestinal disease that nearly ended his life. And he was able to regain his health by following very simple, often overlooked but critical components of our ancestors' primitive diet. This book is a must-to-read for anyone who suffers from Crohn's disease or irritable bowel syndrome, acid reflux, or candida, food allergies, or any other digestive disorders. Now let's take a short break with some music from today's feature CD by Hilary Stagg, titled Dream Spiral. And when I come back, I will explain how our digestive system works, and we'll talk about ways to improve it. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Our topic today is digestion and natural ways to improve it. So let's take a look at how our digestive system works. The human colon isn't just a trash chute. It is an efficient disassembly line that sorts through the food we eat, lets valuable nutrients into the bloodstream, and slams the door on toxins and pathogens. The gastrointestinal tract is designed to help the body break down food and absorb its nutrients. If you were to stretch the digestive tract from end to end, it would measure about 25 to 35 feet long, and this distance is needed to break down food and to pass the food's nutrients through its walls to the bloodstream. And what is left over after the digestive process is expelled as feces or urine. And to propel food through the digestive system, muscles in the wall of the esophagus, the stomach, and intestine rhythmically expand and contract in a wave-like motion called peristalsis. Most people don't realize it, but digestion doesn't begin in the mouth. It begins with the nose and eyes. Before you take the first bite of food, you smell and see it. Especially if the food is appetizing, the salivary glands in your mouth go to work and produce saliva. And by the time food enters your mouth, saliva is ready and waiting to start the digestive process. So saliva dissolves food, and the mucus in saliva sticks to food to make it slippery. It lubricates food so that the food doesn't damage the lining of the esophagus as it passes through. And saliva contains various enzymes that break down food. And some of the starch-digesting enzymes break down starches into the simple sugar glucose. And just as an example, if you place a piece of a cracker on the tongue, and in a moment it will taste sweet, you know, due to this action of this enzyme. Chewing is a very important first step in the digestive process. And chewing also breaks food into small pieces, you know, creating a large amount of surface area because digestive enzymes can only work on the surface of your food. And when we wolf down our food, it takes much longer to digest. Chewing your food thoroughly is very important and also lowers the risk of getting an intestinal disease. Especially undigested carbohydrates in the gut are a source of many intestinal ailments. So the longer you chew your food, the more saliva enters your mouth and more enzymes go to work. Chewing also strengthens the immune system. The movement of the jaw stimulates the parotid glands. They are tiny, tiny glands that are located behind the ears, which actually release hormones that tell the thymus gland to produce T cells. Now the T cell is a white blood cell and it's crucial for fighting infections. So the first thing a person can do to improve digestion is to make a serious and conscious effort to chew your food well. And if you're like most people, we are always in a hurry, especially at breakfast. Most people never sit at the table but gulp down the food on the way to work. And we wash the food down with coffee or chews. And then the food arrives in our stomach in chunks, and the acid in the stomach has a more difficult time breaking down chunks of food than it does properly chewed food. And so the food is not properly digested. And after you swallow, the food and esophagus, which is a 10-inch muscular tube that leads to the stomach. And how long the food spends in the esophagus depends on how well it was chewed. So well-chewed food makes the churn in about 7 seconds, but dry food that was not properly chewed can take a full minute to move through the esophagus. At the bottom of the esophagus, where food enters the stomach, is a strong ring of muscles called the esophageal sphincter. And at rest, this muscle is closed and it opens just to let food and liquid pass into the stomach. And sometimes, however, the stomach puts too much pressure on this sphincter muscle, causing the sphincter muscle to open and letting acid from the stomach invade the esophagus. And the result is heartburn. And nearly everyone gets this painful condition from time to time, usually from overeating. Overeating on a regular basis can cause a series of gastrointestinal problems. And severe persistent heartburn, a condition called acid reflux disease, can damage the lining of the esophagus. So besides chewing your food very well, another important step to good digestion would be to avoid overeating as well as eating meals late at night. Now it's time to take another short break with more music from today's feature CD, and I will continue with this topic in a moment. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We talked about the importance of chewing your food very well and to avoid overeating. And we were in the process of exploring the digestive system, and we made it as far as the food traveling down the esophagus. Now, what would happen next is the food reaching the stomach. And that is where digestion begins in earnest. The food that spent a minute in the mouth and a dozen seconds in the esophagus stays in the stomach for 2 to 4 hours. 2 hours for a low-fat meal, and longer if the meal included significant amounts of fat. Now, stress is also a factor in stomach digestion. Acute, temporary stress shortens the amount of time that food remains in the stomach. The stomach seems to register stress more intensely than any other organs, and the body literally has two brains. The one that is encased in our skull, and also a lesser known but widely important one found in the human gut. that two brains are interconnected, and when one gets upset, the other one does too. The human digestive tract contains over 1 million nerve cells, and there are actually more nerve cells in the overall digestive system than in the peripheral nervous system. Furthermore, major neurotransmitters found in the brain, including serotonin and dopamine, etc., also occur plentifully in the gut as well. And so emotions affect our digestion. The muscle action of the stomach and the stomach's digestive juices churn food into a soupy substance called chyme. And the primary digestive juice is a substance called hydrochloric acid. It breaks down proteins and kills disease-causing bacteria in food. Hydrochloric acid is extremely caustic. If it were to touch your skin, it would burn you. Hydrochloric acid doesn't burn the lining of the stomach because the stomach is protected by a thick coating of mucus. So the mucus acts as a barrier to keep the stomach from harm. Now, aspirin and aspirin-related products can weaken the mucosal barrier and allow acid to damage the stomach lining and cause an ulcer. The older you get, the more susceptible you are to hydrochloric acid deficiency. In fact, half of the people over 60 years have this condition. And a full stomach can hold about a gallon of food. And as everyone who has eaten Thanksgiving dinner knows, the stomach is capable of stretching. And likewise, the stomach is capable of contracting when you fast or go for long periods without eating. On the lining of the stomach, there are millions of tiny wrinkles called rugae that allow the stomach to expand and contract. In fact, if you were to smooth out all the wrinkles in your stomach and lay your stomach flat, your stomach would be the size of a tennis court, which is pretty amazing. And most nutrients are absorbed in the small intestine. The only ones absorbed in the stomach are alcohol, caffeine, water, and some kinds of salt. The churned up food from the stomach, which is called chyme, is gradually released into the small intestine where most of the absorbing of nutrients is done. And the things that aren't absorbed by the small intestine are passed into the large intestine as waste. And the small intestine doesn't deserve to be called small. In fact, the small intestine is longer than the large intestine. It is 17 to 24 feet long compared to the large intestine's 5 to 7 feet. Along the walls of the small intestine are thousands of tiny, finger-like protrusions called villi. And their job is to absorb nutrients. And the villi can be compared to the plants in an aquarium. As they wave back and forth, they acquire nutrients from passing food. On top of the villi are millions of microvilli. And together they activate the digestive enzymes that break down carbohydrates, proteins, and fats so that the nutrients are small enough to pass through the walls of the intestine. And when the lining of the small intestine is damaged, it produces excessive mucus as a defense mechanism. But the extra layer of mucus makes it harder for the small intestine to absorb the nutrients. Plus, the digestive enzymes are blocked by mucus from doing the job. And when nutrients are not absorbed in the small intestine, they can create all kinds of trouble. And many researchers believe that especially unabsorbed carbohydrates are a potential source of intestinal diseases. Of the three macronutrients, proteins, carbohydrates, and fat, carbohydrates are the most difficult for people with digestive problems to break down. And some undigested carbohydrates remain in the small intestine, where they feed harmful bacteria and upset the balance of the intestinal flora. Unabsorbed carbs encourage bacterial fermentation. According to primitive wisdom and current science, the best carbohydrates are the monosaccharides. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and honey are sources of monosaccharide carbohydrates. And for proper intestinal and hormonal health, however, you should limit your consumption of sweet carbohydrates, such as fruit and honey, because they are concentrated forms of carbohydrates. Generally speaking, vegetables are always the best choice for carbohydrates. Now let's take another break with more music from today's feature CD by Hilary Stagg, titled Dream Spiral. And when I come back, we will talk more about the large intestines. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We are talking about the process of digestion today. And so let's talk more about the large intestine. And what the body cannot make use of in the small intestine is passed into the large intestine, also known as the colon. Basically, what is left of the food at this point are products such as bile, fiber, water, and bacteria. The large intestine absorbs much of the water so that waste material can solidify and form stools. On average, the large intestine absorbs 2.5 gallons of water per day. The best way to prevent constipation is to drink plenty of water and include fibers and enzyme-rich foods like vegetables, fruits, and raw fermented foods in your diet. And we will talk about the importance of the right kind of fiber later on. There is insoluble fiber, which is found primarily in whole grains, nuts, and brains. And this fiber is just a bulking agent, giving the colon walls a stimulating stretch. Now, soluble fiber does that too, but it also heals and strengthens the colon. It is found in oats, barley, beans, and most whole fruits and vegetables. If you want to add a fiber supplement, use one that is rich in soluble fiber to help your colon heal, like psyllium, or we carry an excellent fiber supplement at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center, and it's called GastroFiber. Another way to prevent constipation is to exercise regularly. And exercise massages the intestines and encourages peristalsis, which is the rhythmic expanding and contracting of the digestive tract that pushes waste out. Of the trillions of cells in the human body, 90% are found in the large intestine in the form of bacterial microbes called intestinal flora. Altogether, you carry about 3 to 5 pounds of intestinal flora in your gut. In healthy people, most of the microbes are so-called friendly bacteria that encourage good health and prevent illness. 100 trillion bacteria and other microorganisms are currently living in your intestinal tract. Your gut is a place where good and bad bacteria and microbes fight it out. And these bacteria are essential to your health and well-being because they help the immune system, they increase and decrease your risk of being infected by disease, and they also synthesize valuable nutrients, including essential B vitamins. So beneficial microorganisms in your gut play a major role in the digestion of food. Now, to most people, bacteria and disease are synonymous terms, but some of the bacteria that live in the intestinal tract are very good for you. Friendly bacteria in the gut, also known as intestinal flora, probiotic bacteria, or just simply probiotics, keep harmful bacteria in check. And these days, the term probiotics usually refers to whole foods or supplements that strengthen the intestinal flora. So inside a person's colon, a war is raging between good and bad bacteria. And each kind of bacteria is striving to colonize the intestinal walls. The intestinal flora are the beneficial bacteria that keep dangerous and harmful bacteria such as Salmonella, Giardia, and parasites from multiplying on the intestinal walls. Many harmful microorganisms must attach themselves to the lining of the intestinal tract to cause disease. Intestinal flora occupies space on the intestinal walls and thereby prevent the absorption of these pathogens into the bloodstream. The intestinal flora also produces acids and hydrogen peroxide and natural antibiotics that fight off harmful bacteria and sends them down the intestinal tract where they are eliminated in the feces. We ingest and expel a few ounces of bacteria every day, and anywhere from 400 to 500 different types of bacteria live in the colon and the ileum, which is the lower portion of the small intestine. And these friendly bacteria also act as a natural antibiotic. The balance between the friendly and unfriendly bacteria is vital. Your colon should have at least 85% healthy, friendly bacteria and about 15% unfriendly bacteria. Unfortunately, the average colon contains the opposite. And what hurts the good bacteria are basically sugar, stress, chlorinated water, processed food, and the use of antibiotics, to name a few. Antibiotics actually cause most of the bacteria in the intestines, good and bad, to die off. A person who has taken antibiotics will need to replace the friendly bacteria by taking a probiotic supplement. And we have a couple great supplements at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center for that purpose. Also, antacids basically neutralize hydrochloric acid, and this permits harmful bacteria to pass through the stomach to the intestine. Now, laxatives, the continuous use of laxatives can slow peristaltic action. And basically what happens is the gut grows lazy and relies on the laxative instead of its own muscle action to expel feces. And in a lazy gut, harmful bacteria aren't expelled as readily from the colon and they remain there longer. Another thing that harms the intestinal flora is stress. Long-term stress slows peristaltic action, plus it also decreases the production of digestive enzymes. So do excessive carbohydrates. Unabsorbed carbohydrates attract harmful pathogens into the colon. And the fermentation process creates intestinal gas and can also injure the lining of the intestinal tract, which will lead to a series of diseases. Another one would be birth control pills, because they alter the pH of the intestines, making it less acidic and more alkaline. An alkaline environment encourages the growth of bacteria and yeast, such as candida. Now, as far as chlorinated water, the chlorine in drinking water kills the bacteria in the gut, the helpful as well as the harmful variety. And there are a lot of medications such as steroids and anti-inflammatory agents such as aspirin and ibuprofen that damage the intestinal walls. Now let's take another break with more music from today's feature CD, and I'll be back shortly. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is digestion, and we were talking about the intestinal flora and the importance of probiotics. Now, generally speaking, the so-called friendly bacteria improve digestive health by acidifying the colon and helping it maintain a proper pH level. Plus, they also assist the immune system by preventing infection. They also manufacture important B vitamins and increase the absorption of the protein in your food. And they make minerals more bioavailable and increase our resistance to food poisoning. One of the best ways to improve your intestinal health is to strengthen your intestinal flora by including probiotics in your diet. And probiotics are a natural medicine. And humankind has been taking probiotics for many thousands of years in the form of cultured and lacto-fermented foods, such as yogurt and kefir. And the fermentation with lactic acid microorganisms adds probiotics to food and makes the food easier to digest. It increases the beneficial flora in the intestines as well. There are also probiotic supplements, and those supplements are friendly bacteria strains that have been cultured, isolated, and placed into powders, pills, or refrigerated dairy products. Unfortunately, only a handful of probiotic supplements are worth taking and effective. Most of the ones on the market do not contain the valuable cofactors like the enzymes and minerals and other components found in foods, and therefore the body cannot absorb them easily or can even recognize them as food. And often the probiotic bacteria die before they can be of any benefit. In fact, to test the viability of a probiotic supplement, what you do is you drop a few caplets into 2 to 4 ounces of milk, and you let the milk sit at room temperature for about 24 to 48 hours. And this test measures the ability of the probiotic to produce enzymes that break down or predigest food. Now, if the supplement is viable, the milk will curdle to a thick yogurt-like consistency. Now, any probiotic that cannot pass the simple test is not capable of doing its job in your body. There are some very excellent probiotic supplements available, which we carry at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center. And if a person wants to find out more, just stop by and talk to me. So it is a good idea to include a series of fermented food in the diet on a daily basis. Our ancient ancestors seemed to know instinctively that lacto-fermented foods were good for them. They fermented food to preserve it, but they also relished fermented food for its nutritional value and delicious flavor. For example, sauerkraut, which is made from fermented cabbage, is still savored in Germany and elsewhere. And Koreans eat their own form of sauerkraut called kimchi, which they make from many kinds of vegetables as well as cabbage. In India, a variety of chutneys are made from different kinds of fruits, just to name a few examples for lacto-fermented foods. So it's a good idea to include some yogurt or kefir or any cultured product or lacto-fermented vegetables in your diet. And when a person buys yogurt, just make sure it's organic and doesn't contain sugar and a lot of artificial additives. And always check the expiration date. And actually, a better choice would be goat's milk and goat's yogurt. Whereas cow's milk requires 3 hours to be absorbed, goat's milk requires only 20 minutes. And there are a lot of other advantages of drinking goat's milk or choosing goat's yogurt over regular yogurt. And since some of my listeners have emailed me questions about the right consumption of dairy products, I will address the topic of milk products as well as lacto-fermented vegetables and fruits in detail in our next show. Now let's take another break, and when I come back, I will give you some more tips to improve digestion. So let's listen to another track from our feature CD by Hilary Stagg called Dream Spiral. Thank you. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We are talking about digestion, and here are some more tips on how to improve this important bodily function. Many modern foods, such as processed milk products and breads and soy foods, are extremely difficult to digest, but traditional preparation methods made foods easy to digest. Unfortunately, these methods have become a lost art. And just to mention a few, one is the preparation of grains by soaking them to neutralize difficult to digest components and nutrient blockers prior to using them. Also, like I mentioned earlier, the lack of fermentation of condiments and beverages to provide beneficial bacteria for the digestive tract. And another thing that is not practiced anymore is the consumption of protein foods such as meats, eggs, fish, and milk products with plenty of fat, as well as the use of gelatin-rich bone broth. Gelatin acts not only to bring food into contact with digestive juices, it also soothes the intestinal wall. And then there's also the practice of soaking and roasting of nuts to remove irritants and toxins, as well as proper aging of meat to initiate the breakdown of protein. So we'll talk in detail about all these different preparation processes in our next show. Now here's some other simple tips that can help avoid indigestion. And in some European countries, it is customary to use carminatives. And carminatives are basically remedies that help avoid gas and bloating and indigestion. And they use carminatives after a meal. And some of the more well-known are peppermint, ginger, and chamomile. And especially ginger has a calming effect on the digestive system and also helps increase peristaltic action to help move food through the intestine. Now, carminatives increase the production of stomach acids to help digestion. They also relax the intestines, they relieve trapped air and allow gas to be passed. To reduce gas, a person can chew on a few fennel seeds, like two or three, immediately after a meal, and it really greatly helps. Another thing that's practiced in Europe a lot of times is the use of herbal bitters. And in most European restaurants, you can get a small glass of herbal bitters to help digestion or relieve digestive distress. There's also Swedish bitters, which is a blend of various herbs that help digestion, especially for those who have trouble digesting fats. Another herb that is well worth mentioning is slippery elm. And slippery elm soothes the digestive tract and also fights inflammation. And it is a choice of herb for gastritis and ulcers, inflammation, also for lack of appetite and diarrhea. It can be consumed in the form of tea or tincture form. A lot of people are probably familiar with aloe vera juice because it has soothing and anti-inflammatory effects on the digestive system and is also a great source of proteolytic enzymes. Cabbage juice has been found to be extremely effective in treating peptic ulcers. Actually, the juice of fermented cabbage, which is actually sauerkraut juice, is recommended because raw cabbage juice can depress thyroid function. It's always a good idea to incorporate ground flaxseed in your food or mix it in water. It's an excellent remedy for constipation and also an excellent source of fiber. Then there's also the help of digestive enzymes. They can be taken with meals and they can be very helpful for those with digestive problems. And we have a couple different enzyme products available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center. One thing I want to mention for sure is coconut oil. And coconut oil is rich in medium-chain fatty acids that provide unique benefits for the digestive process. They have antimicrobial properties, that is, they fight against pathogenic viruses and yeasts, bacteria and parasites in the gut. And these special fats are also the preferred food for beneficial bacteria in the colon. And best of all, the body uses the medium-chain fatty acids for energy and rarely stores them as fat. So coconut oil helps with digestion and boosts metabolism. some wonderful benefits that come in a delicious package. And for those who have gallbladder problems and difficulty in digesting fats, coconut oil can be very useful because the medium-chain fatty acids do not need to be acted on by the bile salts. Also, for those who have trouble digesting milk and cream, coconut milk and coconut cream can serve as substitutes, and it tastes really delicious. One other component I would like to mention is artichoke powder. It has traditionally been used to treat digestive as well as liver, gallbladder, and pancreatic problems. Artichokes contain a substance that can help these organs make and release bile and therefore assist in fat metabolism. Artichokes also work wonders for constipation, and in fact, some formulations of bitters contain extracts of artichoke. And that is in part why I chose artichokes as the food of the week. The globe artichoke is one of the top 10 detoxifying foods. Actually, a globe artichoke is the flower bud of a large thistle-like plant with only a few edible portions, the heart and the tender fleshy portions at the base of the tough outer leaves. And artichokes are a great source of vitamins and minerals with nutrients that ease digestion and lower cholesterol. In fact, a component of artichoke called cinerin has been formulated into a cholesterol-lowering drug. Artichokes promote liver health and soothe digestive issues such as nausea and pain and bloating due to the flavonoid silymarin. And silymarin is a powerful antioxidant that boosts liver function and helps the liver cope with big toxic loads, and it promotes bile production, which in turn helps break down fatty foods. Another interesting thing is that in ancient times, this vegetable had the reputation of an aphrodisiac. To prepare a fresh artichoke, the thorny top and leaf tips are trimmed away, and the vegetable is then boiled, steamed, or baked. It can be served in many ways, but one of the most popular is to dip the edible portion of the leaves in a sauce. And to steam them, you remove the discolored petals close to the base and slice off the stem so the bottom is flat. And then you place the artichoke in a steamer basket in a large pot, and you fill it with water to reach just below the basket. And then you place the artichokes with the leaves up in the steamer basket. And you cover and steam them until the base of the artichokes are easily pierced with the tip of a knife. It usually takes about 25 to 35 minutes. And then you use a spoon to scoop out the center cone and scrape out the purple leaves and fuzz. And you can dip the edible leaves in a sauce made with butter and lemon, or olive oil and lemon, and crushed garlic. Or you can use another tasty sauce. Always choose artichokes that seem heavy for their size and whose leaves are more or less free from dark streaks. And to test for freshness, you can actually squeeze the artichoke and listen for a squeaky sound. Refrigerated in a plastic bag, they will keep up to about 5 days. And of course, artichokes are in season in the spring. However, they are readily available in supermarkets year-round, and they make for a great treat. Now, this concludes today's show, and I hope you enjoyed today's show and music. And for more information about my services, I invite you to visit my website at elywellness.com or elyevergreencottage.com, or call for an appointment at 365-2288. Also, make sure you come and stop by at the Evergreen Cottage and check out our newest addition, the Whole Foods Pantry, which is stocked with a bounty of organic fruits and vegetables, natural foods, organic meats and dairy, and so much more. I hope you will join me again next week. And remember, take care of your body, and your body will take care of you.